With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and good evening to Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. We are back at it once again, Tuesday night. It is the call-in night. You know how it goes over here on Wrestling Daily. Tomorrow, SP3, Thursday, Steph Chase. And this Friday, Phil Lindsay will be in the house from Bleacher Report and many other publications, Sports Keda included. But tonight, in the co-host chair, is the wonder kid, Louis Dangor. Man, we've got some stuff to get into today.
We do, yeah. I mean, wonder kid, can you call me that anymore? I'm officially no longer a student. Handed in my final.
You're a kid though.
I'm a kid, but I'm 20. I'm an adult. I'm working.
Well, I mean,
no longer a student. What separates, apart from the crappy facial hair, what separates me and you now?
I mean, the fact that I run a household.
You don't know what goes on in the Dangle household. I run this house.
You don't. Absolutely don't.
I'm probably sixth in the pecking order. And there are six people. If you include the dog, six people in this house. I'm probably last on that list.
Dogs are important.
He runs that. He does. No,
like we said, we've got a lot to get into tonight. The titular news being one of them. But, of course, there have been some more departures from WWE today as well. As usually goes on the Tuesday show, about 20 past, we will put the link in to get the call-in going. And from there, Tyler should be first up if he wants to come in. If he is in the chat today, Tyler, make yourself known.
I did see Tyler said he's already got questions written down.
Wow.
And he also went for the don't forget me, Alex. So he's clearly ready.
See, I hadn't even seen that and I knew it. I wrote it down, Tyler. I told you I would. It's right here next to me. So you're first up no matter what happens. At 25 past, obviously, we will get things going. Before then, we've got news and a bit of Raw to get into. But of course, we're not going to dive too deep into Raw because you guys feel free to say what you want on that and we will get into it from there. As well, it's Ultra Chats, right? WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. You know what the deal is. I know it's to call in. If you want to come on screen and have your say, it's easy to do that. But if you want your stuff read out on screen, perhaps you don't want to come on, perhaps you just want to spark a debate without waiting in line, you can do that. And that is how you do it at the bottom of the screen. So there you go, fellas. Without further ado, before we get into the news, thumbs up, subscribe. You know all the good stuff to get Wrestling Daily on the road to 15K, we are really not that far off now, guys. We're making steady progress every week towards the War Games conundrum.
Your grovelly voice right now is helping with War Games.
Makes it better. Makes it better, right? Yeah, I'm still not that great. I had a day off work today because I wasn't feeling great.
There's something going around because my uncle's down, been off work for 2 days with the flu.
I was about to say that. That is maybe the most apt saying in the world in the middle of a pandemic. You know, there's something going around.
Well, obviously not COVID.
I had a COVID test. It's not COVID. Mm-hmm. But because obviously I had it before and I thought, surely I haven't got it again. Like, what are the chances?
But also, age-wise, you're double vaxxed by now, no?
No, I haven't even had my first. I confirmed it the other day that I've got them lined up. So by the week before SummerSlam, tactically, I booked it in. The week before SummerSlam, I'll be fully vaccinated. So
Vegas trip.
Huh?
Vegas trip.
I hope so. I mean, I've heard it's Vegas. I know they haven't officially said it's Vegas, but it is Vegas, I think. So what a weekend that'll be as well, man. I could do two birds, one stone while I'm out there. Pacquiao's fighting Errol Spence Jr. There's a lot. Man, what a weekend in Vegas that would be. Anyway, did Kayla get it like three times? Twice at least, I think.
Kayla I'm not going to, I don't think we should go into it, because I know she has said things on Twitter, things were being misreported, but I think she showed up as to be positive a few times, but thinks like she still had the...
Within the same term of having it.
Yeah, exactly.
I get you. I mean, I know you probably can get it, but...
I mean, of course you can. If like, I'm sure people had it at the beginning and have had it now, because we've been like in this for a year. I'm sure your antibodies don't last a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when did I have it? February. So, yeah, maybe. But either way, unrealized thoughts. You will wait. This is our show, brother. You will wait for our ramblings to conclude. Mm. But on that note, they have concluded. And yes, we will get into the titular news. Edge and John Cena. Louis, talk to us.
WWE is obviously back on the road come July. July 16th will be the first show with fans back. First WWE televised event with fans, not including WrestleMania, since March the 9th last year. So been a very long time. And Edge has been included in the promotional material for the show in the local advertising in Houston and on the promotional material that WWE has been releasing for that show. Edge is featured along with Roman Reigns, Big E, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks. So it's those sort of six, which is great. And Rey Mysterio as well. I tweeted this today. It was a nice, diverse bunch of people. We had two African-American women, an African-American man, a Samoan guy, a Latino guy, Canadian guy. It was nice seeing different faces. He's been announced for that. And Dave Meltzer's reporting that there have been discussions about having John Cena return on that show, something that PW Insider has since corroborated on the July 16th show. Cena finishes filming up Peacemaker, the HBO show, on the 6th of July, which is why he wasn't able to get to WrestleMania because of the travel restrictions and how he would have had to quarantine, which would have put a whole stop to filming. Otherwise, everyone thought he would have been at the show. But it looks like it could be a very packed show. And you can see why with Money in the Bank, two nights later, and that being the start of touring, and with SummerSlam the month later as well, WWE is going to want to have those big names at the show. So I'm not too surprised to hear that Edge might be back, John Cena might be back. I personally think we will have Becky Lynch back, either for a match at SummerSlam or an appearance of some kind. I think we will see Becky back as well by the summer. I think we're going to be set, and Brock as well. I think we're going to be set for a lot of these people that haven't been around either due to COVID or due to sort of fans not being there, and we will see them at SummerSlam or around the SummerSlam sort of time.
Interesting. Obviously, you know, Money in the Bank being the first major pay-per-view back for WWE hot on the heels of the SmackDown show. I think it's interesting that, you know, even if these reports hadn't been corroborated, you would expect WWE would be having these discussions, as they've been reported, to bring back these kind of people. The timeline is probably going to work out perfectly for Becky Lynch. I don't want to lay Louis Dangor money on it. I would assume she might be there for SummerSlam. That might work out for her to have a SummerSlam match. Obviously, you're looking at Brock Lesnar. Now, the whole situation there was, I remember Louis, actually, a younger Louis Dangor, saying, yeah, he might be at WrestleMania. You were saying Cena as well. You were like, yeah, he'll find a way. He'll get there.
Yeah, I did.
You did say that. Let's cut that off. You did say that. Obviously, if there's a time to be optimistic, WrestleMania is probably at Luigi. But that has been the problem. And the reason I bring up Cena and Lesnar in the same breath is because Cena's filming, to my knowledge, is in Canada. Brock Lesnar lives in Canada. And that's kind of part of the problem, that you have to spend a certain amount of time, I don't know the exact days, quarantining either side to enter the country. And obviously, everything WWE has done has been down in Tampa. It's going to be in Texas in July. I think restrictions are being lifted in many ways, or, you know, things will continue to get better, hopefully. If that's the case, I expect Brock to re-sign. I don't anticipate Brock going anywhere at all. He's a WWE guy. Tony Khan, ostensibly speaking, could afford Brock Lesnar if he really wanted to. But I just don't see him shattering like the AEW pay structure to get Brock on a part-time deal. It kind of goes against everything AEW's built on, really. But I would say, yes, I could see Cena being back for that first SmackDown show. Definitely Edge. I never believed that Edge was full-time, ever. I reported on his contract when he first was signed. 3-year deal. There was X amount of dates. Obviously, being injured and building up to WrestleMania, he used you know, a portion of those days. But I think just under a quarter. So it's not that many. He's still got a lot left if he wants to work pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like Cena makes perfect sense. I'd be surprised if Lesnar and Lynch were on the show, but at the same time, maybe I wouldn't. You know, it's on the road to SummerSlam. Mm. It could definitely happen. Like you said, WWE, you can just tell by the investor calls. You can tell by, you know, the mumblings coming out of interviews and things like that. They are desperate to get these guys back in the picture. They're desperate to load the bases. WWE, even how much they've been pandering to having fans back on their shows, on both Raw and SmackDown, it's one of the main things that, you know, they were sneaking into nearly every segment they could. I do think they are desperate to load up the heavy hitters and get some buzz going around the product again.
In terms of Lynch and Lesnar, I don't know if they'll be on the SmackDown show, but WrestleMania, I think we can agree, was quite an understated affair in terms of legends, special guests.
Yeah, for star power.
It was only Hogan and then the Bella Twins and RVD had a couple of backstage segments and that kind of thing. There was no one really in terms of like big names. I think SummerSlam's going to be huge. I think SummerSlam is going to be what WrestleMania could have been with in terms of fans. I think we're going to see Lynch on the show. I think we're going to see Lesnar. I think we're going to see Cena. I think WWE is going to want this to be the big, big, big sort of show this year. It's 60,000 seats a stadium. It's been penciled in as from what reports are stating. That is never the SummerSlam plan. SummerSlam is always just normally at the Barclays Center. Well, it was for a few years.
I've been there at the Barclays. Obviously, they had it in Toronto. I think it was 2019 was in Toronto. And then obviously, we haven't had one there since, right? So,
but those are arenas, not like
obviously, like I think, you know, I might be wrong. I think Wembley is the last stadium SummerSlam's in.
Yeah, I think so. And listen, no, like WWE pay-per-views, like normally are 15,000, not 60. I think to sell out, especially when Manny Pacquiao is going to be fighting the night before in Vegas, you're going to have a big touring crowd coming for that. I think WWE is going to stack this show with some big, big, big names to make sure they sell out.
They will anyway, right? Like, regardless of what's in front of them in Vegas, it's their first major pay-per-view back. I know WrestleMania technically, but this is the first one since the real reboot, like since they go back to touring. I think, given everybody's appetite to get out and watch live shows / wrestling, I think they'll sell out 60,000 easy. I don't know how traveling into there will work come August. Who knows, right? It's all fluctuated since the pandemic started. But I do think, I think they'll sell out personally.
I hope so. But I do think they will have some big names on the show to help with that, like a Lynch or with Lesnar. I don't think the quarantine was the problem. I just don't think he wanted to work without any fans there. And you know what? Fair play to him.
No, it was a mixture. From what I heard on my end, right, like WWE, if you're going to pay someone the way they were paying Brock Lesnar,
yeah,
right, you want to maximize your returns. You want to, you know, have live gates and, you know, everything that in the pandemic era, was it really, would it have been worthwhile to have paid Lesnar the extortionate fees that they were to work in the pandemic? I don't know that it would have been, like, you know, would it have moved the needle much more than it, you know, I just don't think so. So come August, I would be really surprised if Lesnar hadn't re-signed. Extremely surprised when all the things are done and dusted. But yeah, there you go.
What about his free agent friend, Daniel Bryan? Do you think we see him at SummerSlam?
No. Completely different.
I agree.
You agree with me now. It was WWE. This is another Louis-ism. Oh, well, you know, WWE will make an offer and he'll fold. That was Louis Dangor.
I agree with that. I still stand by that.
How can you stand by it? He's gone, my friend.
No. By gone. That. No. He's not
gone. At home, having a great time.
Oh, yeah. he's at home, but he will eventually re-sign with WWE.
Hang on.
I said they will make him an offer that he can't refuse. Admittedly, yes. I did say there was a period of time where I said I cannot see Daniel Bryan being a free agent. He is a free agent. I admit, I hold my hands up. I was wrong with that. Didn't bet good money on it, so the gimmick still stands. But I do think he will eventually re-sign with WWE. I guarantee you he will have wrestled for WWE by WrestleMania next year.
You guarantee it?
Guarantee it. I will give everyone in this chat a virtual high five if Daniel Bryan doesn't. I'll tell you what. If you and I ever go to a wrestling show together, I will buy your drinks for the night, for the whole night, if Daniel Bryan doesn't wrestle by WrestleMania next year.
I'm not saying that he won't. I'm just saying that you have been so sure before.
Hang on, you're so sure. I'm certain.
Well, WWE will make an offer he can't refuse. And I told you it wasn't about that for Daniel Bryan at this point. If you'd listened to every interview that he'd done and took stock of what he said, it was never about would WWE give him enough money. It was never ever about that, right?
I know.
It's all about timing. So I'm not certain.
Oh, I am.
He'll wrestle by next WrestleMania. I'm not certain at all. But I wouldn't be surprised either. Do you know what I mean? It's one of them for me where I think I don't buy into this whole, you know, he's going to tour the world and do all of his fantasy matchups and do it as part of WWE. No, I'm afraid not. I don't buy into that. Be amazing if he did, right? Like, wow, that'd be incredible. But I just think he's doing what he wants to do right now. He wants to be a present father. That's what he wants, right? Like, that has been important to him. He's doing that right now. I don't know if there is a timescale on that. I don't see it as an infinite break. I said all along, it's like a sabbatical, right? Yeah. You know what a sabbatical is? He's just taking a period of time away to do something else before he returns to what he was doing. I do believe he will be back in WWE. I honestly just don't know exactly when.
By WrestleMania. But
that's not an exact timescale. You think just for WrestleMania season, that's when you're saying he's going to be back?
No. I think he will have... I think earliest he'll be back in Survivor Series. I think he's going to have an extended break. But I do think we will see him back in WWE and have wrestled nowhere else between now and WrestleMania next year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to have wrestled anywhere else. But we know we've only got a few minutes, really, till we get going for the chat. So we need to get onto the releases of the day, Lou.
Yeah.
The headliner, of course. You know, I'm the announcer here on Wrestling Daily, and apparently Raw are looking for a new one of their own, Lou.
Should we get rid of you? Should we remove you from, like, after a week?
It wouldn't be mutually agreed, would it?
No.
Because I wouldn't go.
So, Adnan Verk has been released. Made his Raw commentary debut last month. 41 days, I think it was. Wow. Would have been 43, actually. Apologies. Yeah, surprising news, but is it surprising?
Yeah.
He, with all due respect to him, a fantastic sports commentator, a fantastic sports broadcaster, not a good wrestling commentator. And you know what? Not his fault. He was chucked in at the deep end. Commentating on Raw is a hard job. It's a very hard job. I know we sit here, we're critical of Michael Cole, we're critical of Tom Phillips, we're critical of Vic Joseph.
Are we?
By we, I mean people on Twitter are very critical of those three especially.
Okay.
It's a hard job on its own without Vince shouting in your ear 24/7. So I feel bad for Adnan Burke because he was chucked in at the deep end. And I was speaking to someone today on the roster who was saying it does show WWE is like nothing else in the world right now in terms of commentating, in terms of announcing. Nothing can prepare you for that. Or in terms of experience, Adnan Verk has tried his field at every sport. He should have been, in terms of on paper, fine, just slot into this. But wrestling is so different. It's so unique that I'm not that surprised he's been let go. What I do think this shows is, you know what, let's show some more love to Michael Cole, Tom Phillips and Vic Joseph and all these Lee play-by-play guys who are doing great jobs. And we might not like some of the calls they make or some of the things that they're doing, but they're produced. And I think that it's a very hard job. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Tom Phillips back on Monday. But yeah, it is from his end anyway, as well, from Adnan Verk's statement, which I will read out. It does seem sort of mutual. And I know WWE said that, but...
Well, you're not going to be... he can't have been enjoying that, right? You know what I mean? So read out the statement.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, his statement reads, "Thanks to WWE for a wonderful opportunity. The weekly travel along with my other jobs was a grind for me and my family. I'm grateful to everyone with the company, especially Graves and Byron Saxon for being such fantastic teammates." With that, I mean, you do have to think, did he ask, especially with WWE going back on the road pretty much next month, 6 weeks away now? It isn't just traveling into Tampa every week. It's traveling all over the shop.
He's got to have known that, though, right? Like, unless you don't watch wrestling and don't know, like, you don't take this job and think, yeah, they're not going to be in the Thunderdome forever. See, what was the long-term plan then?
This is what I mean. I don't want to not believe him, but I also think...
Can we have the link in the chat before we continue with this?
I do also think WWE would have been looking to move him on because he wasn't great. Let's be honest. He wasn't a great wrestling commentator. As we said, I'm sure a great sports commentator, but wrestling just wasn't for him. Maybe if he had some more time to work on Main Event or work on something else before jumping in at the deep end, that should have been the right thing to do, but chucking him in is your first wrestling show covering Monday Night Raw. That's a choice.
I feel sorry for him. I don't, you know, I was by no means an Adnan fan. I mean, he seems a nice enough, you know, that sounds condemning. He seems a nice enough guy and he tried, you know, you could hear it in his voice. He wanted to be good, right? Like he wanted to be. It just didn't feel right. He felt very uncomfortable to me on commentary. And like when that detracts from the show, I guess that's a problem. I don't know if Corey Graves interrupts him a lot. That was like another thing that bugged me a little bit. I thought, you know, let the man try and find a rhythm. But end of the day, the main problems with this were being chucked into the most difficult role in the company, arguably the drummer, straight after WrestleMania, no kind of experience in that role, and just expecting him to be good. Like, being a lead announcer, man, like, you know, color commentary is hard in and of itself because you have to know when to interject. And, you know, Renee Young as Paquette has been very forward about how difficult that can be. But being the lead guy, that's very, very difficult. You've got a lot of different things to juggle than just calling what you see. So for Adnan Virk, he's proven himself in many, many different sports, but wrestling's just a different world. I feel very sorry for him that it worked out the way that it did. But I think he'll think, as we all do, this is probably for the best. Bless him. I have no ill will or bad things to say against Adnan. He tried, it just didn't work. I think Tom Phillips does come back in. You know, I would not, what a lot, let me try this again. What not a lot of people know, that's hard, is that Tom Phillips is like Michael Cole's understudy backstage. So he does a lot of producing the other producers. He's being groomed for Michael Cole's job once Michael Cole is gone. And, you know, Andy Shepherd has told me about this on many occasions. That's how he got into WWE, was Tom Phillips was the guy that saw it all out, has been the guy that's coached him along in the company. So you know that Tom is a valuable player, and I always thought he'd be okay, even when they pulled him off commentary. I thought, well, it's fine. But it would make sense to just move him back in, because he's very good at his job as well. He really is. So I don't
think they just seem to be pulling him off every opportunity there. Like, he's there for like 6 months and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And someone new comes in, and then they realize that didn't work out.
I mean, early Michael Cole was like that. You probably don't remember Frosted Tips Michael Cole was.
I know
was
Frosted it, Tips Michael
Cole. Well, he was kind of like, you know, just filling in, or he was lead guy for a while when JR was ill, and then he'd come back out. And it wasn't really till SmackDown 2002 that he actually got a steady groove, and it kind of went from there. But there was like 3 or 4 years before that where he was in and out, in and out. So yeah, it is very interesting. I don't know what they're going to do. But I would assume Tom Phillips is the natural fit. It's a shame that Samoa Joe isn't there anymore, because he was so great. So I don't want to be like too damning of Corey Graves, but I just don't know if that helped Adnan either. You know, and Corey's just doing his job, right? Like, that's kind of the antagonizing color guy that he is. But it felt like sometimes Adnan couldn't really talk. And when you're the lead guy, you have to be the voice, right? And everything else trickles from around you. But if you don't have that command, then I guess it can be hard. 25 past. That means it's Tyler Woodward time. Luigi, do you want to set up the banner? And I will go ahead and get our esteemed prepared guest. The call-in is about to commence.
There we go.
Boom.
Oh, it's happening.
Hello. Hey.
How are you, my man?
I'm good. I'm kind of glad I didn't come on last week, because I was sweaty from rugby training.
Oh, wow. Rugby training, okay.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have felt it from there, but I would have felt like very unprofessional.
Talking of professional, he's got a whole mic set up. Look at him.
Can you talk me through the figures on the windowsill, please?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be nerdy now. So I've got Agent Anti-Venom here. I've got a Hand Ninja, the Punisher, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Black Panther. And I've got a few Funko Pops at the back as well.
My daughter would go mad for that stuff. She loves she loves Iron Man, Spider-Man. She loves it.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. But there's nothing wrong with that.
It went a bit robot-y, but we're back. Listen, man, you've done your prep, Tyler. Talk to us, man.
I have done some prep.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't really want to talk about Raw to begin with.
Sure.
Raw has just wound me up big time over the last few months. So I come on here about 2-3 months ago asking you guys for like the biggest what ifs you'd like to book, like for me to book for my channel. I'm coming to you guys again for some help with any more different bookings you would like to see.
Wow. What did we say last time? I can't even remember.
So
I think I said yes. Brock streak. Take
you said so. Louis said and Alex said about Tribal Chief versus Samoa Joe. Oh.
That aged well.
That worked out terribly.
I know. I haven't started it yet. I was like, there's going to be so much pressure on me now to do this because he's now been released.
Listen, it doesn't mean I was wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah. I know. Definitely.
What would I rebook? Wow, that's a tough one. See, a lot of people moan about Oscar and Charlotte at 34, but I actually wouldn't change that. I'm fine with it.
I've always wanted to rebook Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, I mean, how many ways could you have done that though, and it would have worked out?
People would have been pissed either way.
Just have Roman win.
I was there in that crowd. People did not want Roman to win. But then when Brock won, they were just as pissed anyway. They were like, what a waste of time this was. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think there was any saving that. The lesson to be learned in that one is to have not made the match because it was just...
There was no cash in to save it this time either.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if we want to rebook something, the Money in the Bank from last year is... If we're talking like strictly booking... To me, it was horrendous. A horrendous drop of the ball was giving it to Otis. And it's nothing against Otis, by the way, as I say that. It's just that WWE clearly from the jump had no plans for Otis to be the Money in the Bank holder. And it kind of just went along. And then they were like, oh, God, I suppose we better do something with this. Now, I've just got it up now. It's Otis, AJ Styles, Aleister Black, Daniel Bryan, King Corbin and Rey Mysterio. Aleister Black... The guy sat on the shelf for how long? Give it to him.
Should have been AJ.
Yeah. Should it have been AJ? Does he need it?
No, I think his heel character at the time would have suited it really well. I think that it should have been AJ, for me personally anyway.
And this is going to be like the least popular thing I've probably ever said. I would have took the redeeming Baron Corbin story. If you had like reinvented him, right? I'm not talking about King Corbin. Please check my words here. I'm not talking about King Corbin. But if you give me Baron Corbin, right, who gets the briefcase again, flicks the switch, and he's like, no, I am going to redeem my good name. I'm going to prove you all wrong. And he ditches the crown, and you get the golden gloves, Baron, 6'7", whatever he is, Baron Corbin. That I would have loved. But unfortunately, Corbin, nearly 2 years on, is still King Corbin.
It's two years too long.
Yes.
On a personal thing, I think they should have a yearly tournament for it, like they used to do back in the day, or even now, like he could have gotten rid of the King gimmick now.
Yeah.
Just like I don't want to do this anymore, or something like that. You know.
But he should do. There needs to be an evolution somewhere. The guy's doing nothing.
Yeah.
He does have a compelling look without the crown.
What is that sound?
Hang on.
It's Louis. What are you doing?
It's not me because I've muted Tyler and it's Tyler.
Oh, boo, Tyler.
My bad. I know.
Oh, we're back. Here we go. Louis, that was mine anyway. What's yours?
What happens with Rhea Ripley after WrestleMania 36?
Book her redemption,
her sort of her and Charlotte's continuation.
Hang on, give us like specifics because obviously Charlotte goes away in the summer, remember? So how would you have done it?
So you want how I would
That's what he's asking. Yeah.
What would I have done? I would, if you know Charlotte's going away, you have Rhea beat her before she goes away.
But then you never get the EO title reign.
Well, you could still have that in your house. They could still have that between Rhea lose it in your house.
I think it gets a bit convoluted.
Here's what we do. You don't have Rhea win. You actually keep it the same within your house up to then.
Right.
I think that you have Rhea lose. She's spoken about having a crisis of confidence. I think you play that into a story and then culminates with Rhea beating Charlotte at WrestleMania the following year. I know with she didn't end up being on WrestleMania the year after, and a lot of things changed. But like injuries is a situational, so in my ideal world, that doesn't happen. So yeah, I would have had Rhea like go through this crisis of confidence, start picking up wins again on NXT, arrive on the main roster, and then beat Charlotte for the title.
So this actually comes into my next question that I was going to ask you guys. How can WWE fix Rhea Ripley? Because I feel like at the minute, she just feels like any person on Raw. It's just, yes, she has the championship, great, but she just feels like another person. She doesn't feel like the attraction Charlotte does.
Yeah, I think I understood. Did you, Lou?
Yeah, listen, she does feel like she is. Some people are able to work the scripted promos quite well, where I can't tell they're scripted. With Rhea, I really can. She feels quite wooden in her performances. I just think WWE's in a bit of spot of bother at the moment with the Raw Women's Division. It isn't the greatest right now. There just seems to be a lot of counterproductive stuff. Like having Charlotte lose last week and then win this week and then earn her number one contendership feels counterproductive. With Rhea, I just think you just book her like you booked her at the beginning of NXT UK as a heel bitch, to be honest. And like, I think that's her best role. I don't think she is a babyface, or she can be, but I think she is far better as a heel. I think looking at her, she is that big dominating force, one that you shouldn't like. But yeah, I would do
why
that.
Why not?
I
know what you mean. Some people are like better suited to being a heel and stuff, but
in interviews, she's lovely.
She's the nicest person in the world. She is super likable. She's had a journey that, you know, I think is quite inspirational to some people and very, you know, like I said, inspiring and relatable maybe. I don't think that it's not that she's not likable. Like, people can like her, but what's disappointing is that she's kind of won the title, and then what? Right, the biggest things for her, you're looking at Asuka and Charlotte Flair, but they don't feel that big right now, right? So like, where right. to for Rhea Ripley next? As Louis correctly asserted, at her apex was when she was doing that work in NXT UK, but also in NXT where she was kind of on the dominant run there as well. I don't know. It's that 50-50 booking that, you know, and I hate that phrase because it's like a tired phrase, but it's true. And that whole, they haven't really built her to be anything. I was really excited when Rhea Ripley was coming in on the revenge mission almost on Charlotte Flair. And we have to remember, WrestleMania didn't go the way that WWE wanted, right? They wanted two different matches before what we actually got for Rhea Ripley. Yeah. So in a weird way, I feel sorry for her because she wasn't meant to be the champion right now. But she is. And, you know, I guess they're just letting her get her feet wet and trying to kick the tires and hope that something comes along. But it doesn't always work out that way. So I don't necessarily have the answer of, like, they do this and Rhea Ripley is back. But I think she needs to be able to, if Charlotte Flair is the heel, then Rhea Ripley needs to be able to be, or she needs to show that she can't, you know, she can match the queen. She needs to show that she's Charlotte Flair's equal. She needs to prove that she's just on the same tier. Because at the moment, if Charlotte takes the title off her, man, I'm just not sure how that looks.
I think she is.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like them taking the title off of her is just a bit of a stupid idea. I personally think that they really should have built her up a lot quicker. Dragged out her build up before going to Mania, like debut right after the Rumble, and then build her up, fight every like newcomer or something like that, like Mandy. Feed her like these lower people down.
I think it's important to consider she wasn't supposed to debut until after WrestleMania. She was that was the plan don't even think D. I think plan E at that point. It would have been Lacey and Charlotte, and then Asuka and Charlotte, and then with plans constantly changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to consider that as well.
You have to assume that Rhea was like on a road to Charlotte, maybe at SummerSlam, right? So they've kind of had to push everything forward. It's not having the time to play out or really help Rhea develop to like the audience and stuff. Like, there's a lot that they've just having to rush through, and it's a shame because it's not helping anyone involved, in my opinion. Tyler, man, we've gone 12 minutes. We've got other people, brother. We're gonna have
Thank you very much for having.
Oh God, he's gone already. Thank you, Tyler. What happened there?
Don't know.
The man is off. Let's segue to. Oh, I see a man with a title belt. It's Greg Jerry.
Hello.
I don't want to see that title belt. That
hello,
title
Gregory.
Belt, I could have won.
Yeah, you could have won it and you didn't. But
I didn't win it. I didn't win it.
I know, it's salt in the woods. But hey, you can get on Quizzlemania and I can't. So there you go.
Greg Terry, has anyone ever told you your cadence is very Kevin Owens-esque?
I've heard that quite a bit, actually. That
you
I
sound
I
very much like him.
I've gotten several Kevin Owens comparisons with different streams that I've
I tell you what. Not a bad comparison.
No?
No, I'll take that. I mean,
great talker.
Exactly. I mean, I can do a decent Macho Man impression too, but you know, that's another
story. Go on. You've said it.
Yeah, you have said it. Come on.
Ooh, yeah. We're here on Wrestling Daily, with Alex McCarthy and Louis Dingor. Yeah. We're talking a little bit about wrestling. Yeah, we're gonna talk some wrestling and maybe a little bit down the road talk a little bit about something else. Yeah.
Do you know what? My Macho Man is much more intense, like, ooh yeah, dig it. Like, you know, people start shouting.
Yeah, for me it's all about the inflection, like doing the like soft is. Macho promos. My shouting is not as great as the like little stuff, but
that's very good. I've got a funny thing on that note. Hang on, Luigi.
JD Drake.
Wow. That's a shout. Who looks great, by the way? So Macho Man. So do you remember you guys may or may not recall on Twitter the other week, I asked for nicknames, right? Because there was a company that wanted to do something with me. So that was Lucozade. Do you have Lucozade in America? Do you, Greg? Gatorade's the equivalent. It's a sports drink, right? Yeah. So they want me to run the London Marathon. And I'm doing it. It's happening for some reason. And they were like, oh, we're going to give you some gear, but it has to have a nickname. And I was really like, oh, man, I don't know. So I kind of bottled it. But the guy knows I'm a wrestling fan, and they've actually given me Macho Man McCarthy. Wait till they see me in the flesh and realize I am not Macho Man McCarthy. My God.
Just put a bunch of streamers on it, and you'll be good.
Well, I'm going to have you cut a promo for me. Okay. That much I do.
Yeah, I can do that, yeah.
When is the marathon?
It's October. I've got time. I'm a very for what it's worth, Louis. I'm a very accomplished 5-10K runner. I just need to up it a lot.
Listen, 5-10K. All right. How many? What's the marathon?
26 miles.
What's that in kilometers? I can't be 26.
Well, five K is 3 miles, 0.1 to be precise.
Right. Oh God, you'll be. Let me work this out. Hang on.
Listen, doubt me all you like.
Louis. 41 miles.
Yeah.
41 kilometers.
Hey, 41 miles? Who won that?
41 kilometers.
Right.
So you're 10K. Listen, good.
Enjoy. I do 10K in about 50. I think my best is like 52 minutes.
Mine's about 51.
It's fucking not, Louis. You can't even run 5 yards. Look at you.
I'm exhausted just listening to you two.
Anyway, Greg had something to say, man. What do you want to talk about, Gregory?
So, Louis probably knows this, and everybody who's watched WTC probably knows that I'm a big Royal Rumble guy. And I know it's only May, but if you could make the prediction from the way the rosters are right now, for the men and the women, who could win
the 2022 Royal Rumble. I know it's way too early, but the way everything's being booked now, who would you have win?
I'm trying to do my eyebrow to symbolize The Rock, but I can't.
Even I, the biggest Rock marking ever, would not. I would hate that.
Why?
Why? Why do you need The Rock to win the Rumble?
Oh, you're telling me, listen, he doesn't need it, but are you telling me if Rock doesn't win the Rumble from 30, you wouldn't, but you like, you wouldn't pop?
No, well, I mean, probably, but it'd be shit. Why would you do that?
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why, did you need John Cena to win the Rumble to face The Rock at WrestleMania? No, you fucking didn't. Don't be silly, Louis. You can make The Rock and Reigns without the fucking Rumble.
Listen, you'd be sitting there. You'd probably be comped out going there. You'd wet your little Rock knickers if you were there, sat there, and Rock came out at number 30 and won the Rumble.
Doesn't be a good idea.
Oh, no, it'd be great. The crowd would love it. It'd be a great idea. Listen.
That's another year. It's another year where you could have made someone, right?
And but when did they make anyone? They never Bianca make Blair. Anyone with the Rumbles.
Bianca Blair, Drew McIntyre.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I hold my hands up. I got it wrong. But I think you have The Rock win it, and it's a massive moment, a great fun moment. He comes out at number 30 unannounced. Man. Sets up. My other option was going to be Cena. So you also going to shit on that one?
Oh my God.
Cena doesn't need a third. You want to tie him with Austin?
Oh my God. I'm getting so angry at this conversation. What are you talking about?
Go on then. Who are you going to go? Big E.
What would be wrong with a Big E?
What is wrong with Big E?
Because nothing would be wrong with it, but I want Rock and Roman at Mania, and if I want that,
you
why
don't
not?
Need the Rumble to make it, Louis. Why are you talking about?
And if Brock doesn't need another Rumble win, like he had his if not almost that, 20 years ago.
Keith Lee, then. Keith Lee, how's that sound?
Much more reasonable. What Keith the hell Lee. Is the matter with you?
He would need Keith Lee, first of all, would need to come back, and second of all, would need. He would probably need a solid Survivor Series win before he gets built up to the Rumble.
Well, he'd need, like, you know, Drew only really got momentum from, like, you know, mid-December, right, to the Rumble. Like, he had that, like, changing character where he turned face and we all kind of, you know, it made sense when he won the Rumble. We all didn't feel out of place. Keith Lee would need something similar, I assume, a run. Volta would be a good one for me if you're going to move him over. I know he's not ever going to go over properly, but... if you're going to build him to someone great at Mania, that could be a great one. Man, women. That's a tougher one. It depends, right? Like, Io could come up and you could do something with that. But Rhea, maybe?
I think you could have Banks win it.
I would be here for a Sasha win, too.
Sasha win it. And then have a rematch with Banks.
With
Bella, sorry.
I actually don't mind the Sasha Banks idea, and I'll tell you why. Because I do think there's a story at WrestleMania to be told of Banks getting like the monkey off her back with the no victories there.
Yeah.
I feel like for that redemption story, and ideally she meets Bayley there for my liking, but if it's the Banks rematch, whatever, that would still be great.
Or if Becky came back, I wouldn't mind seeing them run back Sasha and Becky again.
For sure. Yeah. Hell in a Cell, amazing, right? Like, I could get behind Sasha Banks for sure. If I was trying to make someone from the women, Raquel might be up there then. I would like Sonya to win Money in the Bank this year. I've said that. I don't think it's going to happen. But I do think Sonya is a superstar waiting to happen. I really do. I think she checks all the boxes. I definitely think she could be something big, but I mean, like I said, Keith Lee, Volta, Big E are like, you know, and I think they apply to basically Money in the Bank or Rumble. Like, give them those chances. That's who I would like to see. I just don't feel like we need these established stars to do that. When the match is right in front of you and you can telegraph it, I don't think you need the Rumble or anything like that. It just kind of scuppers the whole event. Randy Orton didn't need to win it in 2017 to face Bray. He really didn't, right?
And if I'm going to be honest, that was probably the worst WWE title match at WrestleMania ever.
What, you didn't like the Worms in the ring? You didn't like that? Let me tell you, I was there live.
Once was fine.
What the hell was that?
Once was fine because it added to the creep. When they went back to it over and over again, I was like, okay, that's enough. Once was fine just for like a cool effect. If they would have left it at one, it probably wouldn't have been as bad.
You're not wrong, Greg. You're not wrong. Just before we have to let you go, brother, who would you pick?
Well, I said Sasha for the women's, but I'm biased towards Sasha. For the men, I would probably go... I'm going to go with an out there pick, just because I think he could be a main event star someday. I want to go Montez Ford of the Street.
Wow. Yeah, man.
I love everything that he does. His personality is just completely over the top, and I love it. And just somebody in a tag team winning the men's rumble, I just think it'd be awesome.
It
would really add to the, hey, really anybody could win this. And Montez, nothing against Dawkins, because he's great too, but Montez just has this personality that can shoot him to the top.
Oh, man, he's got charisma out the eyeballs.
You'd have a great story as well with Bianca winning it last year. And then Montez winning it this year. Yeah, I think that'd be. Luke Owen has said since 2016, I think, or 2017, that Montez Ford, which is probably 2017, that Montez Ford is future WWE champion.
I'll co-sign on that. I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, I have no problem with that at all. Greg, thank you very much, my esteemed quiz-filled man. I will speak to you again in the near future. Thank you very much, brother. We're going to go from one title to another, Luigi. It's the Good Egg Champion. Here he is.
Louie, my goodness, if I could reach through the screen right now and slap you across the face, I would. Really? The Rock and John Cena?
I really think
in this day and age that either one of those two guys needs to win the Royal Rumble. Absolutely not.
I want Louis
to
tweet that take.
He will get
lit up. I want you to tweet it.
We have tape of it. It could very easily appear in a video on somebody else's Twitter stream and tagging Louis. I think I have a project for today. I got a question for you guys just based on last night's Raw. Everybody hated the main event, obviously. I don't know why it was there, but take a look at it. I mean, we had that great match with Riddle and Xavier Woods. I mean, it was fantastic. I actually enjoyed Charlotte and Asuka, even though it's, version 735 of that. And before the stupid finish, I was okay with Kofi and Drew. It was good. But then the rest of the show is just a pile of dog crap. How is it possible that WWE is able to put together good things and then trash? I'm confused. I don't understand how it can continue to happen when on Friday nights, though this last Friday actually wasn't that great of a SmackDown, Friday nights is so dramatically different. How do they keep doing this?
I honestly think the three-hour thing is a big problem. I know I say this every week. I think that handicaps them so much because, how often do we see, people pulling double duty on Raw or, the segments just kind of... They just go on for the sake of going on because they have to have something later on in the show. And it's like, how bad are the opening segments on Raw? Like, MVP's a great talker, but, I could have told you before Raw started... MVP and Lashley were going to start it and Drew would interrupt him. It was just like, and then their big hook is, don't worry, we're going to do it next week. Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I love Drew and I love Kofi, but wow.
So, for me, I think it's also important to note that SmackDown is a better show, but it is significantly helped by the Roman Reigns stuff. The Roman Reigns stuff takes up at least 50% of the show, so you're guaranteed to get at least half of the show. That's good. Yeah. Very good, at least. I think
SmackDown's supporting cast is better, though, don't you?
It is. 100% agree. But you will at least have half of the show every single week. That is fantastic. And I think that does go a long way as well, where you come out of the show gushing about the Roman Reigns stuff, so you're generally more positive. Mm-hmm. I also think it's to note about the Roman Reigns stuff. He is, from what we hear, someone that is heavily involved with his creative. I think that is also a reason why that segment is good. In terms of Raw, 3 hours is the biggest issue for me, personally. It is just so much time. I get business wise why they do it, because it makes them the most money. But content wise, it is massively to the detriment of the product. What I think you need to do to change it, and I did a bit of a piece on this, they need to announce matches beforehand. Like AEW, I know a week in advance the matches to get excited for.
And they're fresh.
Yes.
But to me, so like I know a week in advance the matches to get excited for. With Raw, I knew nothing going into the show, with the exception of the Alexa Bliss with the women's title match, which we've seen 30 million times over the last 2 months. Mm. I have nothing to get excited for, and I think that hinders it as well, where you'll get people talking about it that week, but you don't have that now. I tweeted this today. In terms of wrestling, the show was good last night. The show had three great matches. In terms of storyline and character progression, it was one of the worst I've seen in quite some time.
You know what could have made Raw better last night was with all the backstage segments with MVP and Lashley, the Godfather needed to show up. Seriously. Because I swear, no offense to those ladies, but who was out last week and this week, that's got Godfather written all over it.
I mean, it does, but WWE would be castrated if they were to allude that those women were hoes. They would be castrated in this day and age.
Well, with some of the things they were doing last night, they were kind of skirting that line a little bit, weren't they?
I don't know, brother. Astral Scope, it has been delightful to see you again. We're going to try and fit someone else in the end of this show. Thank you, as always, my man. You are good egg champion for a reason. Matt the Misfit is lurking. And here he is. How you doing, brother?
Louis, I cannot believe you said the fucking Rock should win the Royal Rumble.
Oh, he's coming with an F-bomb.
I'd rather have John Cone or his son win the Royal Rumble. That's how much I do not want to see the Rock.
Hey, his son is decorated, and you know it, Matt.
I would like to say, being royally obliterated on Twitter. I am being torn a new one.
How is Raw, SmackDown, and NXT run by the same company? It's beyond me.
Yeah. Well, NXT is different, right? But
we have a guy called Connor who does our live results, and he signs off every SmackDown live results review with, "I do not know how this is the same company that writes Raw." And for me, it's all down to the Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman stuff. They have an involvement on the show. And I think this has shown, when you give people an involvement in their products, when they have authority and autonomy over the content that they're putting out, the quality of the content rises. And yeah, for me, that is a main reason why SmackDown's better right now. And I think it's got a fresher roster. It's got guys that I look forward to seeing. With Raw, it's just burning through the same people every week.
Like, there's some other good stuff on SmackDown, too. You got the stuff with Apollo Crews. You got Aleister Black is back. I'm enjoying what he's doing.
Him and Big E is exciting.
I pitched this match the other day. Cena's coming back. If he is coming back, he's not going to do a one-off and just leave. That's not how Cena does things. If he's coming back, he's doing a match. What about John Cena versus Aleister Black at SummerSlam?
Ooh, I think if you bring Cena back, you have him with Roman. You put him straight in the top title picture, you have Roman beat him.
Why do that again?
I think...
Look at Alex. He's like, oh, God.
Hang on, Alex, what's wrong with that?
No, it's fine. I just, you know, there's...
Oh. Well, no.
It's fine. Hang on. It's fine, right? It's just you have an obsession, right? With each line of your thinking is just what's the biggest possible name?
100%. 1,000,000%. And I think that's what it should be. You should have your top guys going against your other top guys in the biggest match. If it's a 60,000-seater stadium, with the exception of The Rock, there is no bigger match you can do than Roman Reigns and John Cena. If you want to main event your first show back and have a signal of intent of, we are back and this is what we're doing, Roman Reigns, John Cena.
Are you actually watching SmackDown? Because it feels like they're going to be setting up Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, for some reason. Yeah, 100%. And by the way, I would rather watch Seth and Reigns than Cena and Reigns, for the record. And two, Goldberg and Reigns is bigger than Rollins and Reigns. It doesn't mean you fucking do it, does it? Right? You have to be. It's short sighted, Louis, to just go, oh, boys, go with what the biggest
thing is. Speaking of Rock and Roman, to me, I don't think Rock and Roman actually need the championship to have be a main event caliber.
No, they don't. But then, you know, and that's a good point, by the way. Let's quickly have a survey here before we have to move. This might be the last call. Who takes this title off Reigns? If we do Rock and Reigns at next WrestleMania, presumably he has to lose it before then. Rock probably costs him, you know, WWE. Who takes it?
I don't think anyone should. I think it should be for the title because you don't want him to lose before that big match.
No, I'm the same, but we're talking hypothetically. Matt says he thinks that he doesn't need the title for the match. I don't think the match needs the title.
I don't think WWE is going to have him keep the title all the way to WrestleMania 39.
That's the other thing, right? Like, if they actually go all the way to Hollywood, can he keep it all the way to then? No. I mean, it'd be amazing if they could actually do that because I do think Reigns, everyone he works with is a great story. The match is always great. Like, Reigns has been batting 100 for title matches in his title reign. Right. But at the same time, that's a long time. You want to, when a champion is facing someone, like, this is the problem, right? If we know Rock and Reigns is the destination and Reigns gets there as champion, how do you get invested along the way in the title matches that he has?
I mean, I'd like to see Roman and Drew again, put Drew on SmackDown.
Yeah, for sure. But then we have to wait till what, October for the shakeup?
I mean, maybe. But speaking, there's another thing I want to ask you guys about. Did you guys catch the Hana Kimura tribute show?
I actually haven't seen it yet, but it's on Fight, right?
Yes. Very moving. I'm actually a little surprised WWE allowed Io Shirai, Kairi Sane, Saray, and Meiko Satomura to pay tribute on that show.
That's good.
You guys remember Hakushi? Dude is 54 years old and looks jacked.
54 now?
Yeah, but he looks like he can still go in the ring.
Wow, that's like, who's the other guy who I saw recently? Not recently, but a few months ago, like Too Cold Scorpio. Yeah. The man is still doing what he used to do. He don't care. The man looks great.
Yeah. Well,
and here we are, Louis. You're 20. I'm 33. And we look like shite.
Speak for yourself.
I'm definitely speaking for you as well, my friend. I'm sorry.
My pick to win the Royal Rumble next year for the men and the women's, Karrion Kross, Io Shirai.
I'm not against it. I need to feel more for Karrion Kross. Like, I'm a bit detached from the Brock Lesnar-like presentation. He's not Brock Lesnar to me. Yeah, Louis, you big on Kross?
I like Karrion Kross a lot. I don't think he's suited to NXT. I don't know. I think he's actually more of a main roster guy. It was reported at the time. Yeah, I think I was actually campaigning for this last year. And you'll like this because it's a John Cena match that doesn't involve him in the main event. I was campaigning before all this stuff and before it was kind of reported. It was like reported that they wanted a fast track Cross. I thought just have him beat Cross have Cross beat Cena at WrestleMania.
Hang on. That would make more sense, right? A Cross Cena feud.
Yeah, Cena
against anybody else but the champion.
Thank you.
I don't understand the issue with
I don't think Cena wants to be in the title picture anymore.
I know what Louis is saying. It would be a great notch for Reigns en route to the
Rumble. Exactly. Like,
he's already beaten John Cena, so it doesn't matter.
No, it does. Listen, it completely does. He's already beaten Daniel Bryan, but we still loved it when he beat Daniel Bryan. You want Roman Reigns to be the biggest star possible. And to do that, he has to beat the biggest. As many people have said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. The man is and has been for a long time Cena. He is franchise. He is Mr. WWE. If you want, there is nothing bigger than at WrestleMania, either or SummerSlam.
He beat The Undertaker. That's kind of, you know. Oh, at WrestleMania.
Yeah. But why not have him beat Cena at WrestleMania? Cena won't lose anything. I don't understand the logic of, keep these old-timers away from the title. Why not have him beat the biggest people to make him... Listen, I'm not sitting here saying that Rock should win or Cena should win. He 100% shouldn't. But I think to elevate the stock even more of The Rock, have him beat... Of Roman, sorry. Him beat the biggest names. I don't see the big problem with it, but based on the reaction here and the reaction on Twitter, I am being completely obliterated.
I hear you, right? Like, but I just, again, Matt's made the point. Roman has beaten everyone. Lesnar, Undertaker, Reigns. He doesn't have to prove nothing. Right, he's already. You don't need to build Roman Reigns to The Rock. Like, it could happen tomorrow, and it's the biggest match in wrestling. The point is, right? He's doing great stories at the moment with some of the best work of this Tribal Chief was with Jey Uso. Jey Uso, right?
No, I agree.
Do the same with Jimmy, and the story is just as strong when you get to The Rock. Maybe even stronger because of the family ties.
I agree, but I think, and this is important to consider.
Is it?
Yes, 100%. Very important. So The Rock was. So, for example, Roman didn't have to pin both Edge and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. He didn't, but it made it more emphatic. And you look at that moment, and you're like, "Fuck me, that guy is
He pin Daniel Bryan though?
Yes, he pinned both of them at the same time. You're like, Jesus, if you didn't know this guy wasn't the guy that WWE is going for, now you know.
So why do you need Cena now?
Hang on. At that time, he felt like the biggest guy in the world. I have loved the Jey Uso stuff, and I'm looking forward to the Jimmy Uso stuff. I'm really looking forward to the Seth Rollins stuff. The story they've got there would be great. I just don't think there is anything more emphatic than the main event of SummerSlam main event of SummerSlam having John Cena on his back, Roman Reigns title over him.
Here's my other issue with that.
Let me tie a bow on it. I would like it. I'd prefer to see Rollins. I would. I'd prefer to see Rollins and Reigns.
Cena comes back? What gave? Why? How does he earn a championship match?
The other good thing that Louis has said is obviously, you know, Cena going for the 17. That is quite cool. But again, I actually like
Randy Orton. That with Bray Wyatt. I'm just saying that was
Randy Orton's idea with Cena for that is better, in my opinion, where they're both kind of tied and somebody has to make it. You know, the title's vacant, whatever.
All right, well, I'm going to go.
You know, thank you very much, Matt. We appreciate your call. Bubba is going to sneak in here right at the death in injury time. Make it quick, Bubba. What do you want to say, brother?
Oh, can't hear you.
You muted. There we go.
Hey, Louis, you scared away the debut of Mad Cash. I built it up all trash, but you started talking like you have been and you ran away.
Louis, I don't think there was anything wrong with my take.
I was in the middle. I didn't disagree and I didn't agree either.
Gary Cassidy put, there is no such thing as a wrong opinion apart from this one. It's the exception to the rule.
Have you heard Gary's jokes?
That's true. This is true. God, the tweet we got in the DMs yesterday, the joke in the DMs we had yesterday was so
Which
bad.
Which one was that again?
I can't go back and find it, I don't think. Was it not? Oh, I can't actually because it named someone. You know what I'm talking about, taking things in stride. I can't say it.
Yes.
It was horrendous. Anyway, Bubba, give us something to close on here, brother. What do you want to talk about? You've exhausted it?
No. Be positive with everything going on. You need to be. What I've learned over the last few weeks, I've been doing some stuff that has helped with it. That's all I have to say.
What makes you happy, Bubba? What have you been doing?
It's actually something private.
Good. Keep it under your hat, brother. Enjoy it. That's what I say. My man, I do appreciate you, though, coming in injury time, being the final guest on the Wrestling Daily calling this Tuesday. There were some people who missed out tonight, but I didn't note down their names.
I have got their names right next to me.
Well, then that's fine. Bubba, on that note, I'm going to say good night to you, good sir, and thank you for stopping by. Louis, get us back to normality.
Will things ever be normal again after our argument?
It's not an argument. It's a debate, my friend.
No, it was. I feel personally attacked. I feel like my opinions...
You should be for that opinion. But to be clear, not mad about the Cena opinion. Rock winning the Rumble is a bad opinion. That is a bad opinion. And you had Cena as the second winner. I mean, you complain, Louis. I heard you earlier this year going, Raw's too old. It's too old.
Hang on. When we're talking old in terms of Jeff Hardy, you can't move. Yep, okay, that's old. Now we're talking old in terms of The Rock, who
you don't know what The Rock can do. None of us do. You're speculating. The last time he did anything, he tore his groin off his bone or something ridiculous.
Well, like, when he beat Eric Rowan.
That's a good point. Yes. Anyway, guys, we've gone over. Thank you so much for joining us in the phone-in today. Remember, it's all good-natured stuff. Louis is the love of my life, really. Don't take anything personal. It's just debating wrestling, guys. So everyone, feel free to join in. Have your say. Just keep it clean, is what I say.
Exactly.
That's all good. It's all good fun, all good-natured. That's what we love here on the Wrestling Daily. You've all been good eggs. Thank you so much again. And I've just been remembered by the Mon Mother herself that there are ultra chats that I've convened. Do you know what? You forget them because of the phone in. You know what I mean? It takes precedence. I'm sorry. Louis, do you want to read it?
Well, I don't have the doc open, so if you want to
read it. Nor do I. That's why I was like, yeah. And hang on, I'm going.
Oh, wow. It's Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily. They don't want to steal your thunder.
I was about to say earlier, Tyler said that he would come and host the show. I was like, it's my show. I don't think you realize this. It's mine. I do have it open now. And it says, David Evans. Thank you, David, for your donation today, my friend. Hi, Alex and Louis. First time in a week going to watch live. No, is this 25th? No, it is. I thought he said this last week. First time in a week getting to watch live. Been playing catch up after my trip to the Hawthorns. There you go. That's why I was confused. My apologies. That night show, SB3 said he started watching wrestling when he was 3 or 4. How old were you when you started watching? Nine. Louis was in his dad's bowels when I started watching wrestling. My earliest memories are like 97, right around the Montreal Screwjob. And then 98 was my first like full year watching wrestling. Obviously, I had no idea what the Montreal Screwjob was. I didn't read dirt sheets. I was just a kid with my gran watching it. That was, 97, 8 years old. Wow, was I even 8? I was 9, I think. I was 9. There you go. 9 years old. Louis?
I was 9 as well. It was around, remember just flicking through channels and stumbling on SmackDown on a Saturday morning.
I've got you, Louis.
It was Saturday morning and I was scrolling through and I watched SmackDown. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then we just kept watching from there. And I haven't had that off period that everyone's had. I haven't ever had that.
No, maybe you need it.
It takes like that. I probably do need a bit of time.
It's a tough gig. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Tomorrow, SB3 will be in the house, and we'll be talking about the now great NXT that's been going for the last few weeks. Hopefully, many more of those to come. Steph Chase will be in the place on Thursday, but we all know AEW is on Friday this week, so there'll be no AEW chat. We will probably do a Q&A. Get your questions ready. Until then, thank you so much for joining us, guys. Take care. We'll see you later.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.